Good afternoon, everyone. If you were at the Dr. Jamie Yu's presentation this morning, you will find some overlap of this presentation with this morning's presentation. But most of the slides in this presentation are new. So the focus of this study is genotype by environment interaction and epistasis. I changed the title a little bit from the abstract because I hope the information from sorghum farm time can also be applied to other crops and other trees. Genotype by environment interaction is the differential responses of genotypes across environments. This figure shows a real-world example of two corn hybrids that were tested at four locations in Illinois during 2013. And if we want to select which one is better, that really depends on the environment we are looking at. And this change of rank makes the selection for breeding purpose really difficult. In this study, we chose sorghum flowering time as a model system to study genotype by environment interaction because first, flowering time has high repeatability, which is very important for any genetic study. And it is regulated by both environmental and endogenous signals. For GYE study, we need the trait to be sensitive to environmental changes. And we have detailed knowledge from multiple species, especially in arabidopsis, and I will show later. For some of you who are not familiar with sorghum, it has great drought tolerance, especially to heat and drought. It has great genetic diversity, and it has detailed genome and transcriptome information. The population in this study is one of the sorghum nested association panel. The two parent TX430 and PDW812 showed the crossover interaction of flowering time. Here the the common parent TX430 flowered later at the Puerto Rico, but than the PDW812, but TX430 was earlier than PDW812 at Kansas, so we decided to use this population to study genotype by environment interaction. This is a Google map showing the three locations in this study. We planted the population during winter 11 and 12 at Guanaya, Puerto Rico, and again during the summer this location, and we planted at Manhattan, Kansas during summer 11 and 12, and we planted at Ames, Iowa during summer 13 and 14. I also marked the sorghum origin here, so we can see this winter nursery is almost parallel to the sorghum origin in northeastern Africa. This is a picture showing the combined distribution of flowering time across the seven environments ordered by their the range of flowering time. We can see some of the lines like this red, which is TX430, show the relatively stable flowering time across the seven environments. Some of the lines like this indicated by the blue line is PDW812. Some of those lines showed a very large variation of flowering time across the seven environment. Two of the major environmental factors we can think of are day length and temperature. If we plant the population during summer, the environment should be considered as a long day environment because the day length is longer than 13 hours. If we plant it during the winter, at winter, the Puerto Rico, the day length is short, and that's a shorty environment. So the temperature profile, the hottest is Puerto Rico summer 40, and followed by two seasons at Kansas. Actually, the early stage of the growth season at Kansas almost as hot as Puerto Rico during summer. And this followed two seasons at Kansas are followed by two winter seasons at Puerto Rico, and the coldest hour 13 and hour 14. Actually, hour 14 this summer, especially during July, is the coldest July in the past 50 years. We can do a clustering of the 200 real lines in this population based on their flowering time. This group includes about 75 individuals are more sensitive to environmental changes than the second group, which includes about 175 individuals. We can also do a clustering of seven environments. First, we can cluster the environment based on temperature. There's no surprise two seasons at Iowa are clustered together, two seasons at Kansas are clustered together, and three seasons at Puerto Rico are clustered together. But if we cluster the seven environments based on the front-end data we collected in that environment, it can generate a different picture. Now, Kansas 11 and 12 are still clustered together, but Iowa 14 this summer at Iowa is clustered with Puerto Rico 11 and 12. And Iowa 13 actually are clustered with Puerto Rico summer 14. So from the point of plant growth, this second cluster should be more meaningful. The genetic mapping study showed that in each environment, there are generally 2 to 4 major QTLs control the flowering time variation. These two low positions on chromosome 6 and chromosome 10 showed up almost every time, and this position corresponds to the sorghum avium-1 gene, which has the largest effect on flowering time. Another message from this figure is that the gene effect also changes from environment to environment. The red color indicates the gene will increase flowering time in that environment, and the blue color indicates that this gene will decrease flowering time. As I mentioned earlier, we have detailed information of flowering time in multiple species, especially in Arabidopsis. This left figure is the gene regulatory network in Arabidopsis, and the right part is the gene regulatory network in sorghum. Those genes in those networks respond to temperature, day length, and light to regulate the change from vegetative to productive stages. And we won't go into details, but the interaction between those genes leads us to do a two-dimensional scan for epistasis of the QTLs. Basically, for every pair of positions in the genome, they are fitted in the model like this, two position and plus their interaction. The lower triangle is showing the sequence is whole model. The two yellow-green lines are the two QTL on chromosome 6 and chromosome 10. Because if you fit a significant position in the model, no matter what is the second position, they all lead to a significant model. The upper triangle is the sequence of this interaction term only. And we have a tiny red dot here. It's hard to see. So I enlarged this part. Now we can see the interaction between chromosome 6 and chromosome 10 QTL are indeed significant. Now I will switch to the RNA-seq experiment, which we conducted during the last year. We selected six representative genotypes, including the two parents, and did RNA extraction during summer 13 at Iowa and winter 13 at Puerto Rico. The RNAs were extracted from 4 time points at R1 and 3 time points at Puerto Rico. In this design, we can have the location difference, the growth stage difference, And the genotype difference. Of course, we have genotype by data, the time point in action and the genotype by location in action. Without, these are the pictures of the selected lines in the field. The first four pictures are the two parents. They show the switch of their flowering time order. This line is early, then become late, and this line is late, become early at Puerto Rico. The first two rows are early at an hour, and they became late at Puerto Rico. These two lines are late at hour and became early at Puerto Rico. Without all the technical details of RNA-seq, let me show one example of the differential gene expression. This gene is the flowering locus D gene, which encodes the flowering gene controlling the transition from vegetative to flowering. The general pattern is that if this line flowered early in this environment, it will show a higher expression of this gene during early stage. For example, this red line, row number one, showed a higher expression than other line during this July stage. And this line at Puerto Rico, it became one of the late lines, so the expression became lower than the early lines, which is this group. With that, I'd like to thank all my committee members, my fellow lab members and collaborators at Kansas State University. I also thank Dubon Pioneer for providing the Dandurek Fellowship. Thank you very much. I will take any questions. Yes, we do have some other signals, like 2 and 6, 3 and 6. Mm-hmm. But first, they are not as significant as this 6 and 10 in action, so we didn't consider that as in this study. But we may look into that further. Yes, this FT gene is chromosome 10 QTL, one of the genes. Mm-hmm.
Where did you extract the RNA from?
It's from the tip of the leaf.
From the leaf tips?
Yes.
And what were the relative stages represented by the three time points in Puerto Rico?
First one is about less than 20 days, about 17 days, the first stage, the smallest. And the second is about 23 days later. And then after almost a month, we extracted again. So that at that time they almost the flower. The second stage actually is like a booting stage, and the last stage is after flowering.
Did you collect the tissue on all the same days, or did you wait until, for example, when you were up in Iowa, did you wait until the plants were at a specific stage of development, or did you sample them all?
Actually, until the sampling, at our initially sampled 9 times. Every week I will sample once and selected these 4 as representative time points.
But were the plants sampled on the same day? Or
yes,
did you
exactly.
Sample them on
the same time.
The same day?
Yeah, the 6 genotypes all at the same time.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about your on the subsequent slides for gene expression for FT.
Uh-huh.
So when you first sample, so sorghum becomes, the meristems become competent to flower at about 28 days. And so when in Puerto Rico on 12/20, the floral meristem wasn't ready to be induced yet, but you can detect these gene differences on subsequently during
yes.